The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I have been wanting to have a chance to think more along with you of Psalm 1 and Psalm 2. They are the head of all the Psalms. And they teach us another aspect of is my Lord, what it means that God is my Lord, Jesus is my Lord. As we go through the explanation of the second article of the Creed, Wednesday by Wednesday, and then Holy Week as well, we will see that Jesus is Lord, for he has suffered and died for us, and he redeems and saves us. We will think about those things as they're expressed in the explanation of the Creed. But tonight, that is my Lord, we think about what Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 say. And you can summarize them quite easy by saying, the one who is my Lord, I listen to him. He teaches me. I meditate on his teachings day and night. And Psalm 2, the one who is my Lord, he is all powerful. Nobody can overthrow him. No evil can overtake him. My refuge is in him. And then I knew that we would look at that, and I thought, of course, we have to look at Psalm 23. For the Lord is my shepherd. And think about how Jesus is our Lord and how that is described there. In Psalm 1, it is said that blessed is the man, the person is blessed, who delights and meditates on the law of the Lord. And I have said in sermons and in Bible class many times that this, when it says law of the Lord in the Old Testament here and so many other places in the Old Testament, this is not law only like Ten Commandments, but it's law and gospel. In the Hebrew there, it's Torah, which means the first five books of Moses. Blessed is a man who meditates on the Torah of the Lord. And the first five books of Moses, yes, have the Ten Commandments and the covenant laws and rules, but they also have the covenant promises and the sacrifices by which one is granted forgiveness. All this, law and gospel, is in the Torah. And so the person is blessed who meditates on all these teachings given by God and all these promises given by God. Remember, the law is, yes, a good child of God will follow these things, but not always. We break them, don't we? We sin. But the gospel is God always keeps his promises. He always blesses and takes care of those who are trusting in him. So the person is blessed who thinks about these things day and night, who follows the teachings of the Lord. And that's important part to think. This is the teachings of the Lord. These are the written words of Moses and the prophets. And now we have in the Psalms. This is written out for us. This person, we hear God speaking to us. We follow him and understand him. So much so that in this description of this type of life, the psalmist says, okay, this person who meditates on God's word is like this tree just with a river right by it. I think of when I'm going to oftentimes go to Bowling Green because I get my Toyota service there and et cetera, et cetera. But what do? I go along the river there, right? And there's houses planted along there, and there's some parks there. And that river is, for the trees, always there. That river is always there providing water. It doesn't matter how it is in the rest of Ohio, it's going to have water there for a long time. And so also the person who is meditating on God's word day and night, they have water that will give them strength in dry times. But he says, not so the wicked. They just dry up and they're blown away like chaff. So even in the dry times, the Lord gives water to our lives. This is why we're blessed and grounded, even in dry, difficult times, because his word provides for us. And also, at that very end, it's very important to know, for the Lord, verse 6 of chapter of Psalm 1, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. If the Lord knows the way of the righteous, he's with them. There's a relationship and communication and communion between them. And thinking about this, what came to mind, partly why we read John 10, is because as Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he talks about how his sheep know him. He says, and I underline there, I know my own and my own know me. How do God's people, how do Jesus' disciples, Jesus' followers know him? Through his teachings. Through meditating on his word day and night, just as Psalm 1 says. How do we survive as Jesus' disciples? Meditating on his voice, his teachings written down for us day and night. And when he speaks of that other flock, he says, they will listen to my voice. So also, all God's people from around different cultures and languages learn to hear God's voice through his word. It also came to mind, and you could make so many connections, but it really came to mind when it says the stream gives life, that you're like a tree planted by the stream. And so even when it's dry, you get water. What did Jesus tell the woman by the well? Do you remember that from John 4? He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. He wanted to give living water to that woman, and he did. For she said, I perceive that you're a prophet, and so on, and she became a witness for him, and so forth. In Psalm 2, then, we learn that our Lord is powerful, and nothing can overcome him. It's interesting to me. It's almost humorous. It is humorous. When the psalmist starts out, why do the nations rage and the peoples, I put it in quotes, plot in vain. Who's going to plot against God? It's not really possible, as if God doesn't know what you're thinking or know the future or know the past or know everything that's going on. So why do the nations rage and plot against God? He knows everything that's going on. And notice in this psalm then, which is recognized as a prophecy about Jesus as well, said the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed. Two persons there. The Father, and we see soon the Son, his anointed, the Christ, the chosen one. Why do they plot against the Lord and his anointed one? When we think about it, think carefully. How does God bring both judgment and grace to the world? Through the incarnate presence of his Son. For his Son, then Jesus in his ministry, explained what the Ten Commandments and other laws were all about, really, and said all people are sinners, even old Pharisees and others said, no, I'm good, I've done this, I follow the Ten Commandments, etc., etc. And I ask that also then Jesus, in his presence, incarnate on earth, reached out and brought healing and forgiveness to so many people, even then finally to die on the cross in the body. By coming to earth, God's Son is both judge for those who try to rebel against him and refuse him, and he's also full of grace and mercy for those who know and need his presence and his healing. So the Lord says in verse 6, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. He is coming to earth. And where did the Father even say those things? At Jesus' baptism, at Jesus' transfiguration. The Father's presence is seen in his death and resurrection and in his ascension. Jesus' presence, the Lord's anointed, the Father's Son, and even you see he's called here the Son. The Son then is the presence of God that both judges and heals and forgives. So nations, peoples, rulers, be wise. God knows what you're doing. God knows every plan, every evil thing. The Lord Jesus knows what's going on. That's part of him being Lord, as he knows all that is going on. So kiss, respect, greet the Son. Don't plot against him. Greet the Son. And he finishes Psalm 2 by saying, and blessed are those who take refuge in him, in the Son, in the Christ, the Anointed. Jesus being our Lord means that we meditate on his word. We hear his voice and his teachings day and night, as Psalm 1 says. And Jesus being my Lord means nothing can overthrow Christ. Who would actually plot against him and think that's going to work? But rather, Christ has become incarnate, and the Father calls him his Son in whom he is well pleased at his baptism, transfiguration. And in what did the Son do on the cross? Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. He did what the Father sent him to do. And he rose again and now sits at the right hand of the Father. All this is about Jesus being Lord, of which Psalm 1 and 2 talk. And how does the Lord take care of me? Psalm 23, and Jesus expands that in his teachings in John 10. He takes care of our physical needs. And in this way of describing it as a shepherd, he takes care, he gives me green pasture, he gives me good water, still water. He's taking care of me. He also cares for my soul. In Psalm 23, verse 3, he says, he restores my soul. And how does he take care of our souls? He leads us in his righteousness and for his name's sake. See, not my righteousness. That won't restore my soul. Not what I think is good, and not in my name, and certainly not in the devil's name or the world's name. But in his name, he leads me in the paths that he knows I need, in the righteousness. That's how he takes care of us. He is my Lord. We walk through these dangerous times in life, the valley of the shadow of death, even with death sometimes just looming over us. And yet I have no fear. I'm still safe. He's my Lord. I am safe. So even when dangerous peoples, even in the presence of my enemies, he sets thy table. He takes care of me even in the very front when evil is before me. The psalmist says, so all the days of my life, his goodness and his mercy are with me. And not only this life, but into his house forever. I am forever in his house. These psalms all talk about Jesus as my Lord and my relationship to him and how that plays out in my life. We pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, you are our Lord, and we give thanks for all that you do for us. We ask you to help us to meditate on your teachings day and night, to have them lead us and feed us. We ask you to reassure us of your power over the nations and over all evil and people who think they can plot against you, but they can't. But you have been incarnate and have been with us on earth in your ministry and now reign with us, reign for us. And we ask you to help us to seek you, to take our refuge in you as our Savior and King. And we ask you, dear Lord, to remind us you are always our shepherd. You're always taking care of our body and soul, whether we are in the presence of danger or trouble, and not only for this life, but into forever in heaven. All these things, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, and forgiving us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.